crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show, we're going to be talking with Matt Bowen from Pro Football or National Football Post coming up a little bit later on this hour, and we'll continue to talk about the end of the Bills minicamp, which was earlier today, but we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about the workplace conduct in the NFL. It's a big issue as a result of last year's bullying scandal with the Miami Dolphins. On the line with us now is the NFL's new Vice President of Player Engagement, Kim Fields. Kim, thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
I guess it's called the Respect in the Workplace program, and it started a couple weeks ago with a series of seminars around the NFL. What can you tell us about this new workplace environment program, Kim?
This is basically just to start a dialogue about workplace conduct and what respect in the workplace looks like and feels like. We are touring all 32 clubs between beginning of June and training camp, and basically engaging my ambassadors to have a conversation with all of the football staff, players, coaches, anyone on the football operations side to really talk through what a respectful workplace looks like, what the value systems are for that particular organization, and how that will carry on throughout the remainder of the year there for them.
You mentioned the ambassadors. Who are the ambassadors for this program, Kim?
They are all former players who have played in the league and who have been trained to have this conversation, to help facilitate this conversation. So people, for example, Aeneas Williams, who's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Patrick Kearney, who's on our staff, Dwight Hollier, who's on our staff, James Thrash, who's on our staff from the Player Engagement Department, Antonio Freeman, Chris Draft, Leonard Wheeler. So we have an assortment of former players who have not only played in this league, but lead by example and are able to help us facilitate this type of discussion.
What kind of, if any, training did those ambassadors have to get, Kim? How did you instruct those ambassadors to as they go out around the league?
We brought everyone to a full-day session here in New York and really had a dialogue, a similar dialogue to one that they're facilitating at the club about what it was like when they were players, what are the things that they would like to see changed or implemented, and then really kind of took their input along with a value-based system model that we use with an outside consultant to build this framework for the conversation. So, again, everyone's kind of using the same framework. We realize that one size does not fit all, and every club and every organization and every town is different, but we do want to make sure that there is some baseline standard that everyone understands that this is what the expectation is as far as being a respect in the workplace when it comes to being a National Football League.
I may have missed it, but did the folks from the league come here to the Bills yet for the Respect in the Workplace program? Have they been here already?
No. Buffalo is actually not until mid-July, actually.
Okay, so that's like pre-training camp. You're going to get to everybody
right,
before
right
training
camp. Right as training camp is kicking off, absolutely. Uh-huh.
Kim, tell me about the genesis of this program. I mean, it's easy to trace it back to the Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito situation in Miami, but there had to be issues and maybe issues that were discussed at the league level even before that last fall, weren't there?
I think that this was just an opportunity to start a dialogue. I think at any point in time in any organization, we can always find ways to improve and get better. And I think for us, this was a great time to start a dialogue about what a respectful workplace looks like, and I know that, and talk about workplace culture in ways that we can always improve it. So I think that's a conversation that you can have in the locker room. That's one we can have here at 345. That's one that you can have in any corporation in America. And I just think that, you know, we just wanted to be on the forefront of this and making sure that we start the dialogue and give the players, the coaches, the football staff, and everyone in the organization ownership of what they want their workplace to look like and feel like.
In simple terms, Kim, what does respect in the workplace look like, especially in the terms of an NFL locker room?
I think it's really based on the values of that organization. I think that based the things that we've seen that have come out of these sessions thus far is that the players, the coaches are really engaged. There are things that they would like to see improved upon or changed or implemented, and this is an opportunity to give them a voice on how we go about doing that. So, again, I think every club, every organization is the same. There are some baseline things that every organization should be doing when it comes to whether it's, you know, discrimination or harassment or bullying or whatever it may be that's really that we all, every standard, any corporation should live up to. But I think when it comes to the day-to-day, the culture of the locker room, the culture of the organization, we want the players, the coaches, the staff members, everyone in the organization to take ownership of making that a respectful place to work.
You know, Kim, when the Dolphin situation came out last, I guess it was last November, it struck me how things could be interpreted differently. And in fact, it's difficult, I believe, to find the line between kidding around at work, you know, towels snapping in the locker room, for example, and real bullying. How do you set where that line is in the culture of a locker room?
I think starting the dialogue. I think part of the issue is really the communication about what, you know, one person may find acceptable, another person may not. But unless you know that that person doesn't know that it's acceptable, you may not know that you may offend them, or you may they may not be comfortable with the conversation or what's being said or done. So the reason that this is even starting off with a conversation and a dialogue is to get to that point that you can have those conversations with people, whether it's your teammates, your colleague, your staff member, your fellow coaches, whomever it may be, to say, you know what? I don't think that's what it looks like when it comes to our organization.
Kim, is it difficult to apply workplace conduct standards, say, for an office setting, even an office here at One Bills Drive? Is it difficult to apply those standards to a locker room, and should there be a distinction, do you think?
I don't think that it's difficult at all. I think one day all of us, some of our players will definitely be in the working world, and it looks exactly the same. I think some of the things that we do or say that we don't do or say in 345 Park, we shouldn't be doing or saying in the organization as well, in the locker room as well. So I don't think that it's difficult. I think it's just a matter of having a conversation about what's appropriate for this organization.
And I think it's important for our listeners to know, Kim, that you've been around the NFL for a long time, right? You started as an intern in the player development arm of the Minnesota Vikings, and actually have worked a little bit with the Vikings and the NFL over the years, huh?
Yes, I've been in the business for a little bit. I'm not dating myself, though.
I'm not asking you that. We're on the line with Kim Fields. She's the vice president of player engagement for the National Football League. One of the things from the Dolphins, one of the other things from the Dolphins situation last fall, Kim, that struck me was I guess I don't want to say it was plausible deniability, but it's not that hard to imagine that the coaching staff or the general manager or senior-level football people might be unaware of what was going on in the locker room, is it? And how can you change that? What would you encourage, the decision-makers and the supervisors to do?
I think that was one of the reasons why we wanted to make sure that this conversation just wasn't about the players. This conversation just wasn't about the coaches. It was about everybody within the organization because, again, you're right, you know, sometimes, you know, the communication may not be where we would like it to be. And if you start the conversation with everyone in the room and everyone hearing the same thing and being able to express where those lines should be drawn and what's appropriate and what's not, I think you have a better chance of success when everybody is on the same page.
I've heard it said and read where many people believe that the coaches should be in the locker room, that you know, some coaches approach it like the locker room is the player's place. It's their sanctuary. But in the light of what went on in Miami last year and in other situations, some others now believe that maybe the coaches need to wander through that locker room from time to time to just see how players are interacting. What do you think?
I think we all take ownership for the culture of the organization. So I think it doesn't fall on one party in particular. I think it is a collective unit that makes it go, and that it's no different than getting ready for Sunday and winning the game. I think everyone plays their part, whether no matter how big or small, and in order for it to be successful, everyone has to input is valuable and has to execute. So I think it's everyone's responsibility.
Kim, as you know, and you've been around the league for a while, that coaches and players react to the bottom line is winning. How does respect in the workplace translate into success on the field, if at all? And how important is it for the ambassadors or for the people going around to these teams to to kind of clue these players in on the fact that respect in the workplace might help you win more games, be more successful.
Yeah. I mean, we are firm believers that a more respectful culture, one that encourages, you know, honest and open dialogue, is really a part of a winning culture. So, you know, that's kind of a basic belief, a premise when it comes to this model of having that open communication line. So I think that the ambassadors that are going in, a lot of them have been a part of winning organizations. They have seen, and some of them have been a part of ones that probably weren't as successful. So, and they've seen the kind of both sides of it, and they're able to give a good perspective on things, especially now that they're looking back. You know, if I could do it again, we would do it differently, and we probably could have turned some things around. So I think that's why it's important to use kind of our peer-to-peer model, use our ambassadors to talk about their not only their life experience of being in the locker room, but then since they've transitioned into their next experience in the working world and how all of that fits together. Because, again, we're about success not only on the field but in life. And we want to make sure that our players, coaches, everyone is ready for whatever that next experience may be.
You've said a couple of times, Kim, you've talked about honest and open dialogue when it comes to respect in the workplace. What does that sound like? Is that a player saying to another, hey, I don't appreciate you riding me like this? What do you think that honest and open dialogue means, practically
Absolutely.
Speaking?
Absolutely. And I think sometimes we may not I think that's just human nature. I may not know that I may say or do something that it may offend you because my life experience has just shown me that that's not may not offend someone, where yours shows you that it offends someone. So I think that's just about an understanding of someone else's life experiences that has gotten them to this point and makes them maybe just a little bit different than you, or maybe reacting to things or appreciating things different than you. And that's okay.
We're on the line with the NFL's Vice President of Player Engagement, Kim Fields, talking about workplace conduct issues. And I want to kind of shift gears to this weekend, Kim. It's the 17th NFL Rookie Symposium being held, mm-hmm. I believe, outside Cleveland, right? Aurora, Ohio,
absolutely. Yeah.
What goes on there, and how do workplace conduct issues factor into the Rookie Symposium this weekend?
So Rookie Symposium, yes, it's been around for quite a while. We kick off on Sunday in Aurora, Ohio. We are divided into kind of two sections, NFC and AFC. You spend Sunday through Wednesday with one group and then Wednesday through Saturday with the second group. And really, Rookie Symposium is based on four main pillars, kind of history. One of the main reasons that we're in Ohio is because we take all of the draft picks to Canton, Ohio, to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We want them to understand not only the history of the game and what makes this game so great, but so they can appreciate what they're about to experience. Total wellness, we really want to focus on being a complete person, not only a football player, but we want to make sure that off the field as well, that you're getting the resources and support that you need to be successful. Experience, really workplace experience. This, again, we stress to the rookies that this is just one experience and a number of experiences they're going to have in their lives. So we try to not talk about this being a career, because eventually football comes to an end for all of them. And we want to make sure that they understand that this is just one experience and they're going to have many more experiences, but we want to make sure that they're prepared. And then the fourth pillar is professionalism, really teaching them how to be a professional as they enter into the National Football League, into this game of football.
As far as workplace conduct issues, boy, what better way to get that message across than to players just coming into the league? That's the way to start it, I guess, to get going on the right track, right, with the guys
Absolutely.
Who are just coming in.
Absolutely. And we'll have, you know, again, we have sessions. We have panels from current players, players who are rookies from last year, players who've been successful in the game, in and out of the game. We do have a session on respect at work. That will be facilitated by one of our staff members, James Thrash, who's a 12-year veteran of the National Football League, and he's going to just speak to the rookies for the 45 minutes during that time. We have sessions on financial literacy and emotional wellness, so we cover a lot of things in that 3 days.
Kim, how many does every team's rookies go? Their draft picks or just selected?
Every draft pick is required to attend. Yes.
Oh, good. It strikes me, Kim, that what you're talking about in the entire workplace conduct issue is really culture change. And there may be, you know, another incident somewhere down the road, hopefully not as serious as the Dolphins incident last year, but this could take years to change the culture of what goes on in locker rooms. And by the way, these players are in locker rooms before they get to the NFL also. So this could take a while to change the culture and get the kind of outcome you're looking for. Do you agree with that and accept that?
Oh, I agree. We don't take this challenge on lightly, and we realize that this is not a one-hit wonder. This is not a Band-Aid. This is a continuous repetitive engagement and involvement with our players. And so even the way that the player engagement department is set up, and I'm glad you recognize that it starts before they get here, you know, we have a prep platform that focuses on the high school and collegiate level student-athlete, football student-athlete, in which we're going to make sure we incorporate these types of themes from a respective work professionalism standpoint into that. We have our current players where we do rookie symposium and our rookie success program and professional development seminars for full teams. And then also our next platform, which is all of our former player initiatives. So we realize it starts before we get here, and we're doing what we can to make sure that those entities that we touch, that we continuously enforce this information to them.
Kim, thank you very much for being on the show with us tonight to talk about it.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Kim Fields, Vice President, Player Engagement for the NFL, talking about the league's Respect in the Workplace program. They have been to several teams already, coming to meet with the Buffalo Bills around mid-July, she said, to talk about changing the workplace conduct, workplace culture, and improving workplace conduct in NFL locker rooms.